As German planes began to drop bombs on London in 1939, the British government had no doubt society breakdown would happen. Civilians were not ready for the traumas and horrors to come. How would they cope with the complete change of life, with the constant threat of injury and death hanging over their heads? Some within the government feared the psychological casualties would be 3 times higher than the physical ones. The bombing campaign killed 60,000 people. And how did the British people respond? With great resilience. The morale seemed high. There didn't appear to be an increase of mental health problems. The British people came together like never before. The sense of collective purpose seemed to raise people's spirits. One indicator of this was the children who stayed with their parents in the cities during the bombings did psychologically better than those who were removed from their parents and put into the countryside for their safety. The stress of the aerial bombings did not override the benefits of staying with the ones they loved. You see, friends, we are together better than we are apart. And now enter COVID-19, the common enemy. Remember at the very beginning of all this, there was this line, "We are all in this together." Do you remember that? Well, were we? It just seems to me that unlike the British people who faced a common enemy, now it just seems we're worse off than when we started. Since the pandemic, 50% of Canadians report worse mental health. 25% of Canadians aged 35 to 54 have increased alcohol consumption. 81% of Canadian workers report that the pandemic has had a negative impact on their mental health. So are we better off than when this all started? Honestly, I don't think so. I think we're worse off. And I think we're worse off because, number one, we've forgotten God. And number two, we're divided. Number one, we've forgotten God. Think about this. We can't, in many places in Canada, we can't have public worship. Some of the places, there is no public worship. Other places, it's limited. You can't have order in society when you kick the author of order out without having negative consequences. When he is forgotten, when he is not given first place, and he's not given what is due, which is worship, we can just expect negative consequences in society. And I think we see this. But number two, we're divided. We can all agree the common enemy is COVID-19, but we can't all agree on exactly what that threat is. On one side, we have, well, anyone who gets it is going to die. To the other extreme, well, it's basically nothing. It's no threat at all. And everyone else is in between. You see, we're completely divided when it comes to issues on this. Just consider the vaccine issue. To vaccine, not to vaccine. Which one's moral, which one's not? After you sort that one out and you decide to get the vaccine, which vaccine do you get? Who gets it? When they get it? I mean, we can't even agree on that. Then we move on to the masking issue. Is it moral? Is it not? Is it effective? Is it not? Is it hurtful for society? Is it helpful? Is it preventing disease? Is it not? We can't even agree on that. Then we move on to social distancing. Is it really necessary? Is it not? Lockdowns? Yes, no. Is it harmful to society? Is it helpful? Now, I mention all these issues not to say which side I fall on, but just to point out that we are incredibly fractured. We're divided. And now we're at the point where we are not even allowed to talk about that which divides us. There is only one narrative, only one way of thinking, and if you stray from that, you're deleted. Take, for example, LifeSite News. They had 300,000 followers on YouTube, all of a sudden purged from YouTube. Another example, Patrick Coffin, a Catholic thinker, all of a sudden purged and shut down from YouTube. And this should concern us because you don't need to agree with somebody's content on their YouTube to realize that censorship of what they're saying is wrong. Because when you censor what somebody is saying, what you're really saying is you're not allowed to think that way. In order to make good decisions, we need to be informed. And to be informed, it means taking in different perspectives, different thoughts. But we're losing this ability. Because any thought, any thinking outside of the popular narrative is shut down. With a society that celebrates being open-minded, it seems that we've become very narrow-minded. One of my concerns is that we've lost the ability now to discuss, to share ideas on issues. Because if we veer off outside the popular narrative on certain things, then you get deleted. And who deletes you? Well, the police are YouTube, Google, Twitter, Facebook. Some high-tech executive sitting in office coming up with some sort of policy that they deem moral, and you stray outside of that, you're gone. And I think that's a problem because we need to get input from different perspectives, but there's only one perspective now that is allowed. And I find this a problem because when you go from discussion to deletion, it deepens division. So how do we navigate the COVID-19 landscape and trying to make good decisions and gathering information and being prudent? Well, I'd like to suggest a couple things because we have some challenges because of the censorship that we're experiencing. But the first thing, listen to both sides and think, is what I'm hearing reasonable or is it purely emotional? There's a lot of emotional bantering and sharing when it comes to COVID-19. Nothing wrong with being emotional in your message because it can help motivate people. But the emotional message needs to be rooted also in truth. So when you're listening to somebody who's all charged up, just think and ask yourself, is what they are saying reasonable? If it's said with a lot of emotion, it might come across as convincing, but it doesn't mean it's true. So you listen to a message and think, is this reasonable? Number two, do not make fear-based decisions. Make a decision based upon reason and logic. If all the information that you're getting is from mainstream media regarding how to live your life regarding COVID-19, you will be afraid. The New York Times did an interesting survey on national media and found that 80% of what was reported, regardless of the network, was negative. Even when the situations were turning positive, they were negative 87% of the time. So keep that in mind. Expect that when you turn on the TV and watch mainstream news, it's going to be fear-based. 87% of the time, it will be negative. So don't let that be the main source of your information on which you make decisions. Number three, be respectful of another person's decision. Friends, this is the first time that we're all going through something like this together. So be a little merciful to people around you who might have a slightly different perspective. And don't simply write them off because they think a little differently than you. Now, if they write you off because you think differently of them, show them mercy anyway because that's the Christian thing to do. And number four, weigh your decisions in light of eternity. As you navigate the divisiveness of the COVID-19 landscape, remember, in the end, it's heaven or hell. You always got to keep that in mind when you're making your decisions. So when you make a certain decision, ask yourself, is it helping me or is it hurting me in my relationship with Jesus? Is it helping me grow in holiness or is it hurting me? Is it bringing me to God or bringing me away from God? Because in the end, that's all that matters. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Friends, we're not alone in this. God is not surprised by the situation we find ourselves. He's not looking down from heaven thinking, I wonder how all this mess happened. God, in his divine providence, has allowed what he has allowed. And if he's allowed what he has allowed, it is because he can bring great good out of it if we respond with faithfulness. That's the key. We have to respond with faithfulness with whatever situation is presented before us. So in closing, my friends, thank you so much for watching. I would highly encourage you to head over to my website, catholicspeaker.com, and join Catholic Minute. I'll put a link right there. Why? Well, because there's a great likelihood in the near future I say something that gets me deleted from YouTube. So if you want to stay connected and get these videos in your inbox every week on Wednesdays, I highly encourage you to sign up. Thank you so much for watching, and we will see you next Wednesday. God bless you.